of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Our gospel lesson today and sermon text is the very familiar parable of the chief thieves. Very familiar love parable amongst Christians. And the nuances and of this parable found their way, tripled their way, even into cultural idioms. All my life, how many times have I gone to a coffee hour or dinner or some social event, someone says, I'll just sit here until I'm asked to go up higher. Or someone will be sitting somewhere else, come sit next to me, come up higher, in the tongue-in-cheek type of way. Jesus, in the context of the parable, the chief thief had attended a prestigious dinner, prestigious because we're said it was of a ruler of the Pharisees. And he knows that people are vying for and competing for places of honor. And so he gives them a parable. I have to share a story with you, one of my favorite stories of my life, about my mother, who had been 100 years old this month. But it punches the point of the situation that this parable sets up for us. My mother was born in 1922. She was a high school class in 1939. She was a depression baby or child. She grew up, and after the graduation, unlike many of us, they didn't have a high school reunion. There wasn't the money or the means of World War II and following. She only had one reunion her whole life. It was her 50th high school reunion in 1989. I'd just been ordained. And before the internet, they had to send out letters trying to find everyone to come back to this small town in North Carolina. And the dieting, just choosing just the right things to wear. And she asked me to escort her. What an honor. She hadn't lived in her hometown for many years, several decades, so we found a motel in the outskirts of town where the back of the banqueting hall was. Now, a key point is that my mother's arch enemy, Ethel, growing up, was one of the planners of the union. Now, I changed the names to protect the innocent. Okay. But that's important to remember later on in the story. So we go into the banquet hall, and everyone had place cards at the table. We were looking for our place cards, and we couldn't find them. There was a reason. We hadn't gone far enough back in the room, where the bathrooms were. And finally, we found our place cards, and Mother said, "This is Ethel's doing." And I just went ordained, so I put all my pastoral skills into practice. Mother, you can see all the people in government who will make it work with a gold plate. She would have no comfort. Well, wouldn't you know it, lo and behold, as fate would have it, the minister did not show up and give the invocation. And who was the only minister in the room at that time? And another organizer, not Ethel, but another organizer came in and said, "The minister did not show up. Would you be willing to give the invocation?" Which meant that my mother and I got moved to the head table. And I looked at my mother's face, she was smiling, waving down to Ethel. And Ethel was sitting in the front row, but not the head table. And then I will never forget my mother's immortal words. She leaned to me and whispered, "For whatever trouble you ever caused me, this makes up for it." And I saw her face, this woman close to 60 and all the hair, the dress, but I saw her, the face of a really little girl. The vulnerable look of someone who needed a place, who wanted to be affirmed, who wanted to be known by name and by need. And that is a God-given desire that we all have. When we're babies and children, we can see it in our faces very clearly, can't we? Especially when a baby or a child is neglected. We see that vulnerable look. But then, as it would be, only naturally, we get our clothing and our titles and our age and our degrees, and then we have a facade, and people can't see that vulnerable need that every human being has to belong, to be affirmed, to be encouraged. And so sometimes it's only at the end of life, on the deathbed, when the mask is taken off again, we can see that same vulnerability that we had as a child, but we have it all the years in between, do we not? And I saw that in my mother's face and in Ethel's. And I tell the story because it's the story of you and me, if we're honest. It is a God-given thing that we want to belong and be affirmed. The problem is, the challenge is, we just get it wrong sometimes. We go in the wrong direction We grab at things, we try to collect, or we want to steal the prestige of someone else, or our titles, or whatever it is. It's not like we get up in the morning and say, oh, I think today I will get it wrong. I will go the wrong way. It's just easy to do. And so what Jesus does in this parable is what Jesus does all of his life. And to this very day, the living spirit, he comes and places his hands on our shoulders, he turns us around and says, walk this way. Walk this way. That's the word repent, really. Repent is a beautiful word. We use it in a pejorative sense, but all repent means that you walk in one direction and you turn and you begin to walk another. And that's what faith does. He says, Jesus, walk this way and be affirmed and know that you are loved. You are known by name and by need, but you're loved and as you give and serve for the greater good of others. As you imitate me, as you live and give and show mercy. And then these things come to you. It is a promise, and that is really the great message of the parable today. Did you ever see the Poseidon Adventure with the boat sinks, right? In that old movie. And all the passengers were trying to make their way to the bow, because they thought the bow was above water. It was actually the stern was above water. And so often in this world, we're all walking, but often we walk in the wrong direction. The reason of Mass and Eucharist and prayer and service and accountability of a community is to help us know to walk in another direction, the way of Jesus. We call it the imitation of Christ. And I conclude today with another story that I think punches the point of the solution proposed by this parable. There's a story of a man who was thought and almost obsessed about what heaven and hell were like. And so one night in his dream, an angel came and said, I want to take him a tour of heaven and hell. What do you want to see first? So let's see hell first. And he opened the doors of hell, and to his surprise, hell was the most beautiful banqueting hall he had ever seen, the most beautiful appointment, the most delectable food he'd ever witnessed. He said, there must be some saint. This isn't hell. And he said, wait. And then soon the people of hell filed in and stood around the table. But before they were allowed to sit, servants came and placed splints on their arms, and the end of each splint was a knife and a fork. And they sat down. Well, they could see the food and smell the food and touch the food. They couldn't bend their arms to their mouths. And so that day in hell, there was cursing and bitterness and gnashing of teeth. And I said, please take me out of here and take me to heaven. He went to heaven and the doors opened. And it was identical to hell. It was the same table with the same delicious food, the same appointment. And just like in hell, the people in heaven filed in and stood around the table. And just like in hell, the servants came in and strapped those splints on their arms. They could touch the food, see the food, smell the food. They couldn't bend their arms to their mouth. But you see, in heaven, something occurred to the people. Now, they couldn't reach their own mouths. They were able to reach the mouths of the people next to them and across the table. And so in heaven that day, they were feeding one another. And there was laughter and there was joy. And the only difference in this dream between heaven and hell is that in hell, it never would occur to anyone to think of anyone but themselves. And in heaven, it was just second nature to think of the greater good of another person. And that is heaven. And that's what Jesus is saying in this parable. If we want to be known, if we want to be affirmed, if we want to belong, if we want to find our place, if we want to know eternal life, it's in giving and loving as Jesus did, imitating Jesus. And heaven doesn't start when we die. It's not chronological. Listen to the Lord's Prayer on earth as it is in heaven. It begins as we imitate Jesus. And that, my friend, is the very definition. In the parable of the chief thief, eternal life. We have it now.